Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Next to the price of each product, indicating how much the Trump tariffs are adding to the cost of each item.
This is a hostile and political act by Amazon. As Reuters recently wrote, Amazon has partnered with a Chinese propaganda arm. So this is another reason why Americans should buy American.
An Amazon spokesperson disputed the reporting, saying showing price impacts by tariffs was never a consideration.
So this is a very interesting story to me because Amazon, as the report went, Amazon, when you go look for things online, they were going to give you the cost and then they were going to tell you the tariff bonus payment. You know, how much extra are you going to pay for the import tariff connected to that good? Which, as somebody who, I think it's hard to keep track of all the different tariffs that are on, off, you know, hokey pokey time. Is it, where is this thing coming from? It's coming from Korea? Okay, low tariff. It's coming from China? Oh, holy crap tariff. This is an auto part. It's coming from Canada. Oh, you know, okay, not a great tariff, but not the worst tariff that's ever been. So I actually thought this kind of makes sense from a consumer's point of view, because what I always want to know whenever I'm shopping online is what's the price I'm going to pay. That includes shipping, that includes sales tax, any other miscellaneous fees you want to throw in, you know, or not. And so I actually thought, well, this is good for consumer information. Oh, but the White House. The White House said, oh, hell no, how dare you? To which I'm thinking, what do you mean, how dare you? Well, I mean, if it's a pass along in the price cost, you know, that you're paying, then, you know, what's the issue? Well, the issue is that they don't want you to think that tariffs cost anything. Remember, the White House very famously claimed that tariffs would be price cuts, tax cuts, to which we all said, but you understand how tariffs work, right? Because that's not how they work. They do incur a cost. Now, you can have the lengthy political conversation about, well, they tariff us and therefore it's only reciprocal or fair, or we've lost jobs to offshore, which we're trying to onshore, or they have unfair labor markets, or they engage in currency manipulation, and I mean, those are all fine things to talk about, many of which are correct. You know, when Trump gave his, I don't know, 30-40 minute speech several weeks ago before the tariffs went in, or right around the same time, I mean, he said a lot of very interesting things in that speech, and a lot of which I agreed with. And, okay, so our response is to create these tariffs, these trade barriers. That's what a tariff is. It increases the price of trade. That's a trade barrier. There's simply no other way to say it. And then it definitely causes a cost to someone. It's not like the foreign government pays this price. The foreign government is, unless they happen to be the exporter, in which case they still don't pay it because it's the importer who pays the price. So whoever's doing the importing pays the price, and they're not just going to eat it. They're going to pass that along to somebody. Either they're going to demand the consumer pay a slice or all, or perhaps maybe they make the manufacturer. I mean, I don't know. You know, you go through negotiations and you figure out a resolution, but somebody's going to have to pay for this tariff. It's not money that just magically appears from thin air because Trump, you know, flicked his magic wand and wiggled his nose and this fairy star dust of economic magic happened. It doesn't work that way. So, and remember, he brags about billions and billions and billions of dollars coming into the coffers because of tariffs. Well, where from? Somewhere, right? Somebody's paying. And the basic answer is, well, you pay if you buy. The buyer pays. And the theory is that, okay, we can make, for example, foreign-made cars cost more. That will encourage the manufacturers of cars to bring plants here, build plants, build locally, and therefore the cost of those cars will be less. That will compete more effectively in the marketplace of consumers who care about price against the imported cars. And eventually what we'll have is good cars and jobs made here. Yay! Okay. Cool. hard to represent that on a simple numerical graphic attached to the price on Amazon. But, I mean, that's all true, okay? But in the short term, and because that's long term, and in the short term, it just costs more if they decide to pass along the cost. So I actually thought, oh, this is great. And the White House had a hissy fit. They're in collusion with the Chinese. They're lying to you. What? I mean, you have a $100 item, and then they tell you the shipping. I mean, they tell you later, usually, after you're right on the verge of buying. It's kind of annoying. I'd rather see it on the front, like right at the top. It's like when you do eBay, you know how they usually have price plus shipping, and they tell you the price altogether. Like, that's helpful, because how can you select on the basis of price if you don't know the total price? So I like to know shipping in advance. I like to know the sales tax in advance. Now, sometimes that's dependent on where you live. I get, okay, there's issues. But same thing. When you go to the grocery store, you have the total of the groceries, and then you have what? The tax. That's not an attack on government. That's not, you know, that's not colluding with the Chinese. That's just informing the consumer that, hey, there's a price of government associated with buying these goods, and here it is. So this, to me, made all the sense in the world. But it turns out the story itself isn't even true, which is the most annoying part. It had to do with the, I'm not even familiar with this. Maybe you know, John, the Haul store, H-A-U-L, the Amazon ultra low cost alternative, like Amazon runs their own.
I have no idea about that.
Yeah, it's called, I haven't even looked it up because I don't care. I'm not a big online shopper to begin with. Apparently, this was a proposal to include tariff prices only in the ultra-low-cost Haul store, whatever that is. And it wasn't even on the regular Amazon website for most of their goods, all of their stuff. Washington Post says that listing tariffs on its main site was never even considered. That was the back part of that report that I played for you. So what's funny about all this is that it's not even true for most of the shopping that you do. But honestly, I would prefer it. Look, if it's a good policy, like if the White House's policy, whatever it is today, because remember, Trump just yesterday changed the tariff policy on cars. It's going to be, 3.75% in a rebate if you make things locally, domestically, but they import parts, because 15% average of the domestically assembled car is made with imported parts. And so, therefore, the 25% tariff at 15% as a rebate, because we don't want to penalize people too quickly until they're in the process of actually moving their manufacturing facilities here. And then after a certain amount of time, it goes down to 2.5%. So you get a little bit of the tariff back if you assemble cars in the United States, but they happen to be made from imported parts. That's, again, it's not a big, the headlines made it seem like there was this big shift in the, for example, the Canadian import on manufactured cars, and that's not accurate. It's a small change. But, you know, we have this kind of ongoing, what are the tariffs today kind of problem, because Trump has been very willing to adjust it, you know, which makes it feel a lot less like a plan and more like an, you know, ad hoc committee. But okay, fine, whatever. And I have said, I think the tariffs may work long term. I think the tariffs may be terrible long term. I don't know. He's the president. I'm curious to see. Nobody's tried this before. Yeah, maybe this is fantastic long term. I don't know. But simple transparency is, tell me what I'm paying for this government policy, which may or may not be awesome long term. That's not a Chinese plot. That's not that's not even an anti-Trump plot. That's just what the facts is. You know, tell me what the facts is. It's fine. And I don't, that should have been the answer from the White House. You know what? When we told you that tariffs were going to be a tax decrease, we got that wrong. Yeah, that was clearly false propaganda and displayed an unimaginably low knowledge of economics, but mostly because we just wanted to mislead you. But now we realize, yes, sure, tariffs do pass along a cost to the consumer. We're hoping it's not the full price of the tariff, so whatever. And we want to make sure they're not price gouging as a way of taking advantage of tariffs, and we might have the Attorney General look into price gouging. That would also be fair. I don't mind that. Okay. But yeah, you know, look, it's a good policy, and it's going to incur a short-term cost, and now you're going to get to see what that cost is, and that's fine. But keep believing. Keep trusting. It's going to be okay. Like, okay, I mean, that's transparent government. It's a funny story to me. It's a false fact defended in a terrible way as a response to a policy that would have actually made sense if it were actually something we were going to see in practice. So, Merca, 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not everyone who handles your personal information is as careful as you are, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the United States. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock will monitor hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. And if your identity's stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code at LifeLock.com. LifeLock. For the threats you can't control, terms apply.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in tomorrow at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
We have done some cracking research here, confirmed by someone about Texas, 437-1620, that they looked at Amazon Hall, and it looks like Temu for sure. And John, you've looked up as well, same thing?
Yes, I bought a phone stand the other day off of Amazon for like $12.
Yeah.
And on here it's $299. I'm like, well, what? It looks like the exact same thing, bro.
It winds up being a fantastic ad for Amazon Hall, right?
Yes, I know. I didn't even know this existed.
I was playing around on the site for just a second looking up some things, and I got a couple of like, no result matches your query. And I'm thinking, on Amazon? You know, they always give you something. I'm looking for a flower vase, but here is a nice transistor radio. You know, like they'll always offer you something. You know, the first letter of your term is the same as the first letter of this fine product you've never heard of. But here I'm like, you know, no results match. A, it's cheap, and B, it's honest. It's so weird. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The U.S. Postal Service is now reportedly helping with deportations. New documents show the Postal Inspection.
I don't think that's going to fit in the mail slot.
The Postal Inspection Service is cooperating with federal immigration officials to identify people they suspect may be in the country illegally. That includes sending photos of people's mail to immigration officers and allowing access to their surveillance systems and online account data.
Wait, what? Okay, this sounds like the mailman is spying on me using technology that I... What is this?
That's basically it. Yeah,
they are the eyes on the ground, making sure that you're not an illegal immigrant.
They are reporting people they believe may be illegally in the country based on their mail.
Okay,
right.
So
if you're getting a lot of mail from
Mexico City
across
or
the border,
Guadalajara, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Or if you're sending a lot of mail, checks or cash or whatever, potentially
this thick envelope destined for Tijuana. Okay, so,
which is definitely not cash.
Yeah. Right. So now the Postal Service workers are the local ICE PIs? Like, okay. I mean, okay. If you see something, say something. Go on, David.
Well, Congress still wants answers about drone sightings near U.S. military bases. Hundreds of sightings were reported last year, especially most of those in New Jersey. The Defense Department called the reports typical, and the White House said they were not the work of an adversary. In a House hearing on Tuesday, defense officials raised some new concerns, saying military bases are lacking defenses against drones. And
that's a great thing for the United States government to announce to our enemies.
Isn't it?
It's wonderful. Yeah. Go on.
Well, 50 years ago today, Saigon fell, the South Vietnamese capital, now called Ho Chi Minh City, was captured by North Vietnam's Communist Army April 30th, 1975.
Yeah, the most famous picture of which, of course, is that picture of the helicopter landing on the roof of the... It was in my head, it's the embassy. But was it the embassy roof? That's what I have in my head.
Yes.
The embassy roof.
Yes,
okay.
It was.
And then, all the people climbing up the ladder trying to be... I mean, just hard to imagine. But, yeah, 50 years ago. Wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 525 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, speaking of, since we're kind of in a, historical retrospective semi-moment, again, Trump continues to push out all kinds of information, and I think it's almost too much, okay? But, it's better than having the dribble of what he didn't even do under Biden. But Trump continues to put out information of all different sorts, including he puts out historical notes, his administration, not he personally, puts out historical notes about, what is this date in history. And the one that came out just yesterday or the day before, sometimes I forget because I'm, prepping a day or two ahead. Anyway, but the note was about the Jamestown settlement. And, you think, well, that's not okay. Exactly. Jamestown was settled by John. Pilgrims? Yeah, okay. What was the name of the boat?
The Mayflower?
It wasn't, but good guess. That's...
Dadgummit. Look, it's 5:26 in the morning.
That's what most people think, myself Pinto included, because I didn't know enough history. It's the Mayflower. It's 1620. 1620 is always... I always like remembering that one because it was it's our AM frequency, 1620. So it's easy to connect
think
to the history.
That.
Well, I would.
Well, I know you would. You're like, oh, yeah.
But he puts out this, or his administration puts out this note 418 years ago. So it was actually 1607. More than 100 men completed a grueling 144-day voyage from the countryside of England to the mouth of Chesapeake Bay in search of opportunity in the New World. Commissioned by King James I and the Virginia Company of London, these intrepid settlers charted? It says charted. It should say chartered. Okay, whatever. Three small ships. It's a pet peeve of mine that people say, well, we chartered a vessel. Oh, what kind of paper do you use? The Susan Constant, the Godspeed, and the Discovery to set sail on a perilous journey across the Atlantic to expand the reach of the English crown into unknown lands, create a better future for their families, and further the glory of His Divine Majesty. That's of James. Known as the First Landing, the seeds of America's destiny were sown when this courageous band of Christians erected a towering wooden cross at the crest of Cape Henry, Virginia. Under the First Charter of Virginia, which commissioned the voyage, they consecrated the New World, gave thanks to God their safe passage, and dedicated the land to His glory. The raising of the Cape Henry Cross was a visible symbol of the covenant the settlers made on their first day in the New World for themselves and their posterity to obey God, seek His blessing, and place their trust in Him. Within weeks, the men traveled inland to establish...
Jamestown.
Thank you. The first...
I'm like... Wait, this is
the first permanent English settlement in the New World... Sure. English, sure. Okay. I mean, St. Augustine, we were not permanent. That place we don't know about in Georgia, South Carolina. Anyway, yes, first permanent English settlement in the New World. We hope to plant a nation where none hath stood before, one early settler sang in a ballad. In the months and years that followed, the settlers at Jamestown would face grave dangers and extraordinary challenges, including a severe drought, starvation, and disease. By the first year's end, only 38 of the original 104 men had survived, yet by the grace of God, Jamestown endured, and the American spirit of courage, strength, and determination was born. And it goes on to talk about the giant cross commemorating the site, and, now therefore I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and by the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim April 29th, 2025, as a day in celebration of the 418th anniversary of the first landing and the raising of the cross at Cape Henry, Virginia by Jamestown settlers. Cool. I didn't know that. I probably had been taught at some point. The capacity to forget things is very high. But I'm like, oh, that's neat. I I just always thought of the Mayflower. I didn't think about the three ships that came before that or know their history or know that it was, you know, 1607 and not 1620. So I appreciated the historical note. They send out the executive orders. They send out the, you know, defensive policy. They send out transcripts of speeches. And they do send out these historical notes, whether it's related to Columbus Day, as they sent one out the other day, or this one about the, you know, history of the world that I wasn't even aware of. And I appreciate that. I think that's interesting and neat. So the sheer volume of information pushed out by the Trump administration and by the White House is enormous. They are a news source, a news site. And I think it's neat. I like it. I'm a fan. That's what talking about the fall of Saigon 50 years ago got me thinking of. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A revolution of common sense. That's how President Trump summed up the first 100 days of his second term during a rousing rally in Warren, Michigan.
After decades of politicians who destroyed Detroit to build up Beijing, you finally have a champion for workers in the White House, and instead of putting China first, I'm putting Michigan first, and I'm putting America first.
On the flip side, Democrats grabbing the Senate floor.
The turmoil and turbulence has produced confusion and, yes, anxiety, deep fear and apprehension about the future of this country.
Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, the president kicks off the second 100 days of his administration by meeting with his cabinet this morning and CEO and business leaders later in the afternoon. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 71, and it is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Escambia County deputies were called to Warrington Preparatory Academy yesterday after a student with a gun was reported on campus. Deputies responded, and they say they did locate a firearm. No shots were fired. This incident is still under investigation, and so far, no charges have been filed. The city of Pensacola says planning is continuing to move forward on their new restroom facilities at Veterans Memorial Park.
We had some design delays thanks to subsoil sampling, which has also increased cost due to the need for a more robust foundation. That's some soft dirt and soil under there. So we've been kind of hacking our way through that, and we expect to have updated rendering submitted to the city this week.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says the facility will be located on the northwest corner of the park near where the old restroom trailer was before it had to be removed. He says the $750,000 grant the city received from the state for this project has been extended until June of next year due to the delays. Well, sea turtle nesting season is here for the beach, and Chris Bryan says there's several things you need to know about
okay,
that.
Okay, here's a few things to remember when visiting the island. When walking along the beach at night, just remember to use a red flashlight. Sea turtles and hatchlings are less likely to be attracted or disoriented by those red lights. Never touch or harass a nesting sea turtle or baby hatchlings. Fill in large holes to leave the beach flat for nesting sea turtles. And remember to remove all tents, canopies, furniture, toys, and other obstacles from the beach every night. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, Florida is America's second fastest aging state. Just over a fifth of residents are over 65 now. Utah was named as the slowest aging state, with Maine as America's fastest aging. Life insurance experts examined Census Bureau figures to identify which states have the highest and lowest concentrations of senior citizens across the country. The top five fastest aging states: Maine, Florida, West Virginia, Vermont, and Delaware. The slowest: Utah, Alaska, Georgia, Colorado, and California. A man from Maine is accused of threatening to kill a Flagler County resident and their family through Xbox messages. James Maynard, he's been charged with making written or electronic threats to kill. Detectives say this came after a 2.5-year investigation following a series of threats. Maynard was arrested after detectives traveled to Maine to interview him. Well, Florida is set to become the second state to ban fluoride in public drinking water. The state house passing an agriculture bill Tuesday to prohibit water quality additives in public water systems.
What we argue is that we can't force you to have it or any other drug that some simple majority may believe is good for you in the future.
And that is State Representative Danny Alvarez. He was the bill's sponsor. The measure has already cleared the Senate. Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to sign it into law. The ban would go into effect July 1st. Utah's got a ban on fluoride in drinking water, and that will go into effect next week. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70. For Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping a chance of rain on that Friday, 50% chance of some showers, maybe a thunderstorm, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Now, thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 71 degrees. We've got mostly cloudy skies. Our next news is at 6 o'clock, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get a market, a pre-opening market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Homeowners insurance rates have risen dramatically from an average of roughly $2,600 annually in 2021 to just over $3,300 in 2024. That's a 24% increase. According to a new report from the Consumer Federation of America, some states have been hit harder than others. Utah's average has increased 59%, while Pennsylvania has increased 44%. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said at the company's LlamaCon AI developer event that as much as 30% of the company's code is now written by artificial intelligence. Meanwhile, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said the company is focused on developing an AI model that can build as much as half of other AI models within the next year. Samsung Electronics operating profit and revenue beat analyst estimates as sales of its flagship smartphones as well as memory chips rose. The South Korean company posted a record quarterly revenue up 10% from a year earlier, while its first quarter operating profit climbed 1.5%. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
It's the 25th annual Crawfish Festival at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk May 2nd through the 4th. Come and enjoy live music from Swampland Revival, Sadie McClendon, Count the Years, Jared McConnell, and many more. Plus, be entertained by the fireworks Saturday night and lots of crawfish all weekend long. And of course, you'll want to visit the local artists along the boardwalk and enjoy the kids' crawfish race as well. It's a festival of fun for the entire family. Visit PensacolaBeachCrawfishFestival.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
It's our weekly opportunity to talk with the Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons about, well, whatever. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, pretty much
advice
anything, right?
On life. And
do you have some?
Well, no. Very little.
I'd be curious.
Don't follow my advice.
You know, you're the sheriff. You live a pretty good life. You teach the, you know, you do the Blazer Academy and all that. I mean, that might be something interesting. How much that?
You would hope that I'd have some
I mean,
knowledge.
You know, you were a coach in sports and all. You know, I know you know stuff. Maybe some other time. I'll let you mull it over because that can be kind of fun. Life tips with Sheriff Simmons. I kind of like that.
I'm willing to give them.
I know you would be. I like that. All right. Let's talk about some of the incidents that have taken place in the last week in Escambia County. We had a 34-year-old Escambia County man charged with homicide after allegedly stabbing, I think, Kyle Alexander. I don't know if that's the victim or the person being charged in Ensley home.
Friends of a man say, hey, they haven't seen him in a while. So they go to the apartment where he lives or the house that he lives in and find him deceased. They call us up and we find a male that had been looked like he had been stabbed a couple of times in the neck. The investigation revealed. And like all good detectives, we start to look at the roommate first. And then we find out that someone had taken the
victim's car. How long
car.
Had he been there? I mean, this is
about, I want to say about 10 days or so.
Oh, so a long time. Like, this is into decomposition. This is,
There was some advanced decomposition.
Okay, all right. This was not like an hour. This is
right.
Wow.
No,
okay.
No. So the victim's car was gone. And so, again, we look at where's the roommate.
Yeah.
Because we can't seem to find a roommate. Ultimately, we discovered the roommate had fled to Okaloosa County. We worked with the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office and was able to pick up the roommate who still had the victim's car and ultimately charged him with a homicide.
Okay, and do we have a motive? Do we know anything at this point?
Not really. They had been roommates for about 10 years.
So they really knew each other a long time. Okay.
Yeah, from I think, California.
Okay.
They came to Pensacola.
Okay, all right. We also had on Courier Place on Friday, we had a suspect found dead in a vehicle. Is that right?
That is correct. So the day before that, we had a suspicious circumstances type call where witnesses say, hey, they saw this guy, the ultimate victim in this case, get into a car with some other gentlemen, and there looked like it was a disturbance inside that car, and they thought they heard a gunshot. And then the car sped away. So we had been
with everybody in it.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Everyone was still in the vehicle. So we put the victim out as a person because we weren't sure exactly what the circumstances were. Come to find out throughout the investigation, the victim was meeting some people for a drug transaction and a disturbance that was witnessed by others took place in the car. And ultimately, we found the car the very next day. Unfortunately, it had the body of the victim in it. Looked to be a single gunshot wound was the cause of death. Obviously, homicide investigations have taken place. And we do have some information, but we have not yet made an arrest in the case.
Okay. And just checking my legal knowledge here, I know it may or may not be relevant here, but if you go to a drug deal and somebody winds up getting shot, that's a murder one, right? Because it's a felony related
death during the commission of a felony. It's a lot of things. It's simply
even
murder.
If it were self defense. I mean, even if it were under the circumstances, arguably self defense.
I guess it depends.
Okay,
under circumstances. That's why we're still
looking,
investigating, trying to figure out exactly what took place inside that car because it was more than two people in the car.
Okay.
So we're looking at to talk to everyone that was involved in that car. And if any other witnesses, were present then, or if they know what happened, whenever they dropped the car off, who picked them up when they dropped that car off.
And I do want to just mention this because it's so regularly misstated in television and movies. I want to make sure we say this as many times as we can. You were following up on a missing persons case at this point immediately.
Right. Right.
The time to wait to ask for a missing persons investigation is zero time.
Yeah, there's no 24 hour. You got to wait 24 hours. And plus, this had a suspicious
right with the altercation in the car.
So
we
obviously thought, oh, we're concerned. This person may well be in danger. So we put that out as quick as we can because we did have a vehicle description, and we were hoping that someone would let us know and we could stop that car while it's still moving.
Right.
And again, we didn't know that anyone was injured at the time, although we were concerned.
You guys, you're very active on social media. You know, we've talked about how you will respond to false posts, clarify things. Last week we had this one about the parking incident out on the beach. But also you had put out a thing last week. I think the top of it was like a 3X. There were three updates or three related updates. And it had to do with the reports of a kidnapping, I think a child in Perdido Key. And you,
yes.
But you guys were trying to be clear about what you did and did not know, right?
Well, it all these things happened on a Friday. You know, we had a car found, and we had the missing person from the night before.
Okay.
We had a Facebook post, and then ultimately a police report done on I call it a suspicious incident that took place. So the witness says that they saw what they thought was a child potentially at a bus stop, struggling with an individual, placed into a car against their will, and then sped off. And so we took the report. We had our deputies, you know, canvass the area looking for videos. We contacted the school district, obviously, to make sure that the individuals that would be picked up at that bus stop all were at school.
Yeah.
And that was done. This was all done within the first 30 minutes of the seeing this post, even before the police report was done, before someone contacted us with it. So we have nothing to indicate that anything happened. We have no report of a crime. We have no report of anyone missing. But we're not saying that something didn't happen. What we're saying is we have nothing to go on. We have, again, we've canvassed area for any video. No one has video. We've checked the bus stop. There was nothing going on with the children that would be at that bus stop. And so that's all we have. And so what we wanted to do is put this information out and not get one connected to the other.
Especially when you have three different cases, all crimes, all kind of possible.
And then someone posted a picture of a look like a maroon car with someone that's getting out of the car. So we actually had like four things, and people were wondering if that video that was posted was what the people in Perdido were, the individual in Perdido was talking about. No, that happened a week earlier. That had already been investigated. We talked to the victim in that case, and they don't want to do anything. So a disturbance is all we'll call that. And then this one at Perdido. So there's a lot of conversation about, the sheriff's office don't believe it. We're not in a position not to believe it. There's no reason for them to make this up. So, but we did do some investigating, and perhaps it was either a misunderstanding or, an incident that the victim in it does not want to.
Is it? I know it's illegal to file a false report.
Correct.
Is it illegal to post an allegation about a crime that's false?
If you knew it's false, if you know it to be false, I don't know that it's illegal. You're not reporting it to law enforcement authorities. Heck, people make posts that are ultimately not true all the time.
I know.
I don't know if there's enough police to do anything with that.
How many cops can you hire, right? But the other question I have is, so you guys monitor social media a lot. Do you just have, like, people whose whole job is to sit online and scroll around and look and catch posts? And I mean, how does that work exactly? Because I'm fairly active on social media, but I miss a lot of things. I have a lot of people send me stuff, you know what I'm saying? But even there, I don't see everything. How does that how do you monitor? Because I think about threats that get made. I think about claims that get made. I think about, you know, all the different social circles on social media that do not all interact with each other particularly. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that?
Well, I think it's like you said. We want to be open and transparent with the community, and we want them to be able to call us. And even if you don't call us on the phone, even if you don't make official police report, if you see something that's wrong, maybe a child abuse or something, you would give us a call. We want to know that information. So answer your question, we do have a couple people who monitor that, but it's really not necessary. People will call us.
They'll tell
and
you.
Let me know. And I get messages all the time. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? And I mean, days later, I'll get messages, and we had already posted updates, and we'd already done this. But I don't know that I mind that. I mean, I think that the fact that
you'd rather have 50 reports than none, right?
Yeah, and we want the reputation, and it's true that we want people to be able to call us and say, hey, what about this case? What about that case? And we want people to know that we've looked into that. We want people to be updated on certain issues. Now, we can't do them all. I've noticed some things. What was going on? It looked like I saw a UFO, or I looked like a loud bang in the other day, and you know, we don't go back and research all of those things, because that would take all of our time. But if there's something suspicious like that, we certainly, the first time we look at it is, hey, let's look into this, because time is of the essence.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we have a pretty good working relationship with the community.
Absolutely. And I will say the times when I have seen a thing and I have reached out to, you know, you or Andy Hobbs or Tommy Leiter, it has never yet happened where they're like, oh, no, I hadn't seen that. Yeah, it's always, you guys are already well aware and have been for a while. You know, I'm the late one to the party, if anything. So, I know you guys are very, very aggressive and, you know, very well informed about this stuff. You had the first class, not first maybe, but second maybe, civilian firearms training class, safety class?
Yeah, we got a state grant, I guess about a year ago or so. That allows us to fund a civilian firearms training. It's about the same time that they legalized the concealed carry.
Okay, the permitless concealed carry.
Or constitutional carry, whatever you want to refer to it as. They also allocated some money to train people that might be uncomfortable or feel uncomfortable with a firearm. So we opened this up. This is the second class, and we'll probably have at least one more. For anyone that really, you know, maybe never thought to carry concealed because they weren't comfortable with a gun, didn't know what kind of gun, didn't really, you know, again, at that level of comfort and ability to carry and know how to use it. So we're doing it. It's actually pretty popular, and I think it's a service to people that a lot of people already know, certainly military already know how to handle a weapon. But we want to make that available to others that might not be feel so comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, and it's this one was taught in by Lieutenant Drew Kilgren, who of course took me through the shoot house. Great guy. I was very impressed with the variety and diversity of people who were taking the class: black, white, male, female, old, young. Like, it was a tremendous variety, and it's stuff you might not even think of. I ran into this. I had somebody who was relatively elderly and had bought a semi-automatic, a SIG. And was asking me how to use it, and I was showing him, and just the physicality of loading rounds into the magazine, and then the physicality of knowing how to, you know, rack the slide and all this stuff, it was a lesson to me about how, no, you really ought to have a revolver. And that kind of stuff, when people don't know the terrain or aren't familiar, taking a class like yours might expose them to different kinds of weapons and help them figure out what to buy when you might not even realize, well, this is a good gun, I should buy this gun. Yeah, but if you can't use it, it's not any use to you.
Well, there's everything. There's a trigger pull.
Right,
the ability to push, pull the slide back, to lock it back. There's a lot of things that people probably watch TV think you just point and shoot and that sort of thing. And that's why I said sometimes a revolver, but even a revolver, are you going to cock it first or are you going to just go with just a straight out trigger pull? Because that's a little more difficult to pull. And sometimes when you mentioned someone that may be elderly, they may not have the hand strength.
Exactly.
The dexterity that is required to handle.
And nobody. And if you're not familiar with guns, you don't think about that. You just, oh, I'll go buy a gun. I'll be good. Well, it's not quite that simple.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you on the subject. I've had two things I've been asked to ask you about. One is aftermarket exhausts. We were just looking this up today, but the law says you cannot have an exhaust on your car or truck that is louder than the manufacturer, which means they're all illegal. But how do you enforce that? Come on. I mean, that's how many cops do you have?
It has to be pretty bad, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, our priority is drugs and fentanyl and violent crime. Those are priorities of ours.
Key problems.
Right. And when I went to the Board of County Commissioners, I need deputies. I didn't say I need deputies for exhaust enforcement.
Right.
But I will tell you that we do that. We do exhaust. We do window tint. We do tag lights. We do that type of enforcement. The Highway Patrol typically handles those types of – they do the roadways. We kind of have an agreement where they do that.
You do yours, we'll do ours.
And we'll handle the calls for service. But we do that, and it would have to be pretty loud because I think there's a decibel level in that. And it's just – I don't know that it's practical for 20 deputies a day to be stopping every car that's got a loud muffler.
Right. I agree, but it's – there's the law, and then what can be enforced.
So if you're out there, you're listening, and you're revving that thing up really loud, and you're wondering, and you're zooming by a sheriff's deputy, and you get stopped, that's your own fault.
That's on you. Yeah, that's
right. Don't call me up on social on social media and complain.
The other one I want to ask you about, we've been talking with Sheriff Johnson about this. We talk a lot about concealed carry. I just think it's a really important subject for people to understand. You, I think, have a slightly different take on the law, though, and that's why I wanted to clarify. In a car, you obviously cannot have a gun sitting on the dashboard or sitting on your lap, or even if you have a concealed carry permit, you cannot have it sitting in the passenger seat. But what about in the door wall or under your seat or in the glove box?
It used to be where, before this constitutional carry law, it used to be, two movements or holstered and snapped in a center console or in a compartment of some sort, so you can't, not readily available. But we believe at the sheriff's office, and we've had many discussions about this as well, that the constitutional carry law has changed these things. So now you have
in the car.
Open carry, or you have concealed carry, and you cannot have open carry. In my opinion, you can't have open carry out in the grocery store. You can't be
I can't be. I can't have my Glock on my hip
and walking around there.
You can. I can't.
Right. but you can't have it concealed. Mm-hmm. You can be in a grocery store and concealed carry. Why is it different in a car? Now, I understand that there's some officer safety aspects of this, but if you conceal a weapon in your car, we think you're okay.
Okay.
But you can't have it open. You can't have it on a dash. You can't have it, in your hand. You can't have it, in the same hand you can use a turn signal. You can't do that. But I think that if you hide it in your doorwell, or if you hide it in your center console, or as long as it's not concealed, I think you're good to go.
As long as it's not open, yeah.
Yeah, my thought is this. Well, why would you have a gun in your car? To protect yourself from being carjacked, right?
Right.
And if you have to scurry around your glove compartment looking for the gun, what good is that going to do you? Because if someone comes up to my car when I'm off and they try to carjack me, I'm not playing hide and seek with my gun. Hold on just a second.
Let me get it out of the snappered case inside of my glove box that's locked. Yeah, no, the shorter answer is you can't conceal in public. You can't open carry in public. You can conceal carry in public. In your car, you can't have an openly visible gun, but you can't have a concealed gun. That's your interpretation.
Right. Yeah, because the constitutional carry law didn't necessarily address vehicles, it addressed persons.
Right, so right. I know what Bob Johnson's kind of concerned about.
We give the same, and I get it for law enforcement purposes. I've walked up to several cars, knowing what kind of guns they had on there. But to me, it covers both, and I want to give the tie goes to the runner.
I got you.
With regards to that.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for the information, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
And maybe we'll try to roll out Chip's Tips next week. So I kind of like that idea. I do. I seriously like that idea. It's good. He's done so many different things. Great source of advice. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Burger Battle by the Bay is the best burger competition on the Gulf Coast. It's Saturday from 11 till 3 at Community Maritime Park, downtown Pensacola. All you can eat burger bites and more. Tickets $15 now online, Solo Cafe Shop, and Wright Street Thrift. $20 day of the event. Proceeds support Take a Stock in Children, Alzheimer's Association, Polo Eradication, and many other community projects supported by Subwest Rotary. It's the Burger Battle by the Bay. It's Saturday at Maritime Park.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
It belongs in a museum. So do you.
I still always remember the story when we were first buying our very first handgun. And, my wife used to work at Olin, which is the company that owned Winchester. And they had a range on the grounds of her company, you know. And so we went there and they taught us how to use handguns. And then kind of got done what do you think we ought to buy? And they're like, revolver by revolver by revolver. You know, simplicity, easy, whatever, no confusion, middle of the night, that kind of thing. And then I asked him the fruit on the trees question, which is, tell me what you do. And I asked him, well, what do you have on your nightstand? I got a Glock. What do you have on your nightstand? I got a Glock. What do you have? You got a Glock. I'm like, well, I know what we're buying, and it's not a revolver. But there is really a, can you use it question to a lot of guns. Like the Colt 1911, I find the slide too hard to operate. It's so stiff. I know the gun's super reliable and it's been around for more than 100 years, literally since 1911. But operational functionality, you can't ignore that stuff. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, Harvard University's president is promising to make changes after internal reports found Islamophobia and anti-Semitism on campus. Harvard president Alan Garber says the reports released on Tuesday reveal aspects of a charged period in their recent history. One of those reports found Jewish students being harassed. Another found Muslim students were afraid to express their political beliefs.
You know what would be amazing It'd be amazing if universities took the concept of privilege and or you know, bias training and really applied it in all the ways it could be used. You know, what if they could teach them about anti-black bias, right? Or, you know, whatever. If they also teach them about, you know, anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-male, anti-female. Like, really look for implicit bias in all of its forms and then train people or teach people about it. I mean, that would be really useful. So anti-Semitic bias would be a very useful thing, as well as any other kind of bias that you could teach about. It's actually a good concept, if only it weren't aimed at certain things. Listen.